Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. We just finished that Breaking It Down podcast. Marilyn Morales, holistic nurse out of New York, talking about the legacy of her daughter, who she lost to leukemia. And so it's just terrible when you think of those things and reflecting back on this weekend. So prayers and thoughts with her. And now we go into the practice run of this great show. Man, oh man, I am excited. Next week we debut it, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, Danielle Orsino out there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, as we break this thing down, Danielle, first of all, I want to let everybody know how they can get a hold of you and how you're doing this morning in the Southern Belle State.
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
Doing really good. You know, I'm upbeat, getting ready for this great show that you and I have pretty much laid out for a month and a half or so. And now we'll be talking football. You came up with a great name. I can't wait to talk football with you. And as we talk football, boy, what a disaster yesterday in Chicago. That wasn't for must-see TV at all. Ugly game, to say the least. You could have got more excited watching a rerun of All in the Family or Bonanza to watch that thing. And I guess the finger-pointing still continues in Washington, whether they win or not.
It's still there, but at least we had a touchdown. We haven't had that on the Thursday night game. So I was just excited that there was actually some scoring going on compared to the Broncos game the week before. So, you know, and last time I checked, neither team paid, $245 million for a quarterback. So once again, I still think it was a win.
Well, you know, the problem in Washington, and, you know, being a Pittsburgh guy, my favorite team was the NFC, was the Washington Redskins. But when you look at this team the last few years, man, it to me, it's all about this. It's just been a toxic club culture. They heard the sexual misconducts, the counting misleads, the bungling of a new stadium proposal that once seemed inevitable and now is met with hard resistance by the public officials in pretty much three states, Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. Ron Rivera is kind of lost his club ever since he got here. The first year was okay. Now he had the number one defense. After that, it's just kind of, you know, the wheels have fallen off the wagon. But, you know, I don't want to spend our time talking about this, you know, in a practice thing. But to sum it up in a nutshell, this is an organization that's it's pretty much fallen in the Potomac River.
I agree. I think part of the problem or the main issue is Dan Snyder's just a dumpster fire. It's from the top down. And when you have problems like that coming from Snyder, you know, one, I do believe he has dirt on owners, on Goodell. I do 100% believe he has seen it all and he has kept records. I think he's got receipts. The part of me was like, I kind of want to read them. You know, that's an issue. So I think when you have those type of issues and then you come down, it's it. I also think when you have defensive tackle, you know, Jonathan Allen saying that, you know, there's overreaction to, you know, to Tua and his concussion. There's another problem. It's just one thing after another from the culture. And I don't know how to fix it. Part of me wants to say, and I know people are going to hate me saying this, shut it down. Just shut down the whole club for like a season and try to get a handle. You need new ownership. You need new management. You need a new coach. Everything just needs to stop. It's like I almost want to say put them in a corner and time out. Just time out. Just everybody stop talking and let's just clean this whole thing up because you're never going to get back to what we know as football in that club. It's just not going to happen until everybody just stops. Just get off the merry-go-round and let's try to fix this issue and get back to the NFC East.
Yeah, and you know, for an organization that's been around a lot of years to have this fall by the wayside, I think it's going to start, like you just said, it starts with upper management. If Daniel Snyder doesn't move and sell this team or they don't get him out, then it has to be something with the coaching carousel there. They need to get this guy, Ron Rivera, out. He is not doing anything that show me that this team can contend right now with the three teams ahead of them, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys.
No, I liked Rivera. I liked what he's done. I think, you know, he's good. But at the same time, what can he do with all of this going on in upper management? I think to an extent his hands are also tied. I think overall, you know, I think Carson Wentz is a good quarterback, but I don't think the team was built around him. I think they just were looking to pluck a quarterback in and then have that quarterback just work with what he's got instead of building the team around the him and the weapons. It was just like, we're going to put somebody in there and, hey, hope and see what happens. And it was also built around Chase Young. I mean, they were just so excited for Chase Young that they thought he was going to be the end-all, be-all, and then, yeah, we'll build the offense. Yeah, sure, but, you know, we got Chase Young. That was it. I think they were just so happy to steal Chase Young from the Giants. Like, okay, the Giants didn't get him. That's great. That's all we cared about. So I don't know. I think whatever coach comes into that, it still has to deal with Snyder. I mean, let's not forget, Snyder also had punishment put on him that he's completely ignoring and still doing what he's doing. So he's always been the biggest off-field problem for Washington. And until the NFL deals with it, I don't think Washington's ever going to really get out from that shadow and get out from under those problems.
Yeah, you're right about that. Give me, you know, as we wind this thing down, and we got 8 minutes and some change, and I want to talk about what our show is going to entitle here, but before we get to that, give me some surprise teams right now that you didn't see coming in the beginning of the year as we're 6 weeks into this thing. This Sunday, tell us, you know, what we're looking at as far as that shocked you, because there's some teams here that we didn't see coming, and tell me some of the disappointments.
I'll be honest, I did not give Philly enough credit. I'm still not giving them enough credit, but they are undefeated. So, I'm going to tip my hat to Philly right now. I did not see them coming in as undefeated. I think they had a soft schedule, but they've done some good things. So, am I sold on Jalen Hurts? Not yet. Let's see what happens with the Cowboys. If they beat the Cowboys, then I'm going to have to bow down and eat some words and eat a Philly cheesesteak, because I did not see Philly coming. I thought they were going to be a contender, did not see them taking the NFC East. So let's see what happens with the Cowboys. Again, I didn't see the Cowboys also doing what they were doing without Dak. Cooper Rush has turned into something. I'm very happy. Micah has a lot to do with that. And Tony Pollard has a lot to do with that. It's not been Zeke's game. It's been Pollard's game. So I'm very interested to see how that turns out. I'm disappointed tremendously in the Rams. I mean, what is going on there? I mean, when you think about it, the Rams have only scored 80 points over the first five games. That's the fifth fewest by a reigning Super Bowl champ ever. That's it. I mean, we all know about the Super Bowl slump, but the fifth fewest, only 80 points? I mean, that's crazy. So I'm a bit bummed in the Rams. I thought we were going to get a little more fight, but I think the problem with the Rams is they're top heavy. You got to, you know, all their first line is crazy great, and then there's nothing when these guys get injured. There's nothing in the second. So I'm a little bummed, and I thought we were going to see more from Cleveland. You know, I thought Cleveland and Cincinnati, I thought were going to be a little bit more, especially Cincinnati, and I'm not seeing it. Miami, I kind of knew was going to peter out. I mean, but granted, Miami's had some extenuating circumstances, so I'll give them a little bit of a pass. I'm happy to see San Francisco stepping up. I'm very happy with that. Pittsburgh, what can I say about you take Pittsburgh on this, Mark. I'm not going to leave Pittsburgh alone. I'm going to leave that one for you.
Well, let me tell you, the Pittsburgh has been a big disappointment, and I think pure pressure by the media has changed Mike Tomlin's mind. You got to take a stand. I've always said in life, you got to be true to yourself before you can be true to anybody else, and character needs to come to the forefront. You can't bend to pure pressure here. Trubisky, you know, resurrected his career in Buffalo after the dismal seasons in Chicago, but you know, you can't screw the psyche of a quarterback up. Yeah, the offense sputtered, but it was the offensive line in more ways than one. You know, Najee Harris hasn't got going this year, but the bench Jabinski and throw the kid in there, I thought the kid should have carried a clipboard for a year or come in case of an emergency injury to Jabinski, but now they're going back and forth. They throw the kid in, gets his ass handed to him in Buffalo. This team might not win another game till Turkey Day. They got a stretch here. Tampa's in Sunday.
Yeah.
You got Miami. You got to go to Philly. I mean, it just gets ugly. I mean, and you haven't even played the Ravens yet, so it's going to be a stretch here where Pittsburgh's really got to find themselves. I think they'll kind of turn it around, but the defense, which was a strength, is just giving up big numbers here, and it's demoralizing in more ways than one. The Raiders have been a big disappointment in my book when you look at it. And, you know, that's a team that went 4-0 in the preseason, kind of like the Lions did that one year and then went 0-16. But the Raiders aren't going to go 0-16. We know that. But it's a team there's two losses here where if you flip the script, the Raiders would be right there. I think my biggest surprise is the Giants, because I didn't figure they were going to do something, but they brought in the bull there. He's done a great job of coaching them, and Jones have always liked. And I think the other surprise, and it might not be a surprise to some people, but the Kansas City Chiefs. You lose Tyreek Hill. Mahomes is kind of keeping that team there, and, you know, they haven't missed a beat. And I don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl. I said that when they got knocked out by Tampa, that we wouldn't see these guys in 5 years, but it's an interesting team in more ways than one. They've kind of, you know, built up that team, and they're sitting pretty. We'll find out, you know, when they host Buffalo this week.
I think, well, first of all, let's just go back to the Giants just for a second, because I just love hearing it so much. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled with the Giants at 4-1. I'm absolutely thrilled that they're sitting there at 4-1. Brian DeBole and Wink Martindale, I mean, they should just get – if Brian DeBole does not get Coach of the Year, it's an absolute sin, and it's an oversight. He's doing a phenomenal job, and I think it goes to show with what little weapons we have, because we are decimated at wide receiver. Darius Slayton has completely stepped up. Daniel Bellinger, I mean, what the heck? Look at him. You know, Sills, we're starting to click. I think our win against the Packers, what I can say about that game is it goes to show that we used to be a team that we would come out crazy in the first quarter and the second quarter, and you'd be like, wow, that's a team. Awesome. And then the third quarter would come around, and we would score nothing. And then Eli would have to come in and do some crazy two-minute fourth quarter comeback. And sometimes he'd pull it out, and you'd be like, that's what we are. Great. Now with Martindale, the first, second quarter, we're like, you're like, oh, my God, it's the Giants. And then he makes some adjustment, some crazy adjustment in the second half. We come back, and it's like it's a totally different team. That's it's a nod to the coaching. And Saquon, I mean, Saquon's back. They cannot lose him.
Yeah.
I know there's talk of him going to the Bills. We cannot lose him. I get the salary cap issue, all of it. But I'm thrilled. I want to see what they do against the Ravens, because Wink Martindale knows the Ravens. Let's not forget where he came from. He knows it. I'm happy to see Daniel Jones pushing through. We went over 200 yards, which really should not be such an amazing thing for a quarterback in the NFL. But for Daniel Jones, it is. And he gutted through a beautiful, you know, win. Yes, I know he was injured, but still. The kid's trying, and he's trying to earn that respect and that job, and I think he's doing a great job. So I'm really interested to see what happens this weekend against the Ravens, and can they contain Lamar? Because there is talk that Lamar wants to come to New York. If the Ravens don't pay him, he's eyeing the New York job. Not that I'd be all that upset about it either if he came.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, you lose a guy like Martindale, who was instrumental in building that team in Baltimore. You can't let that guy go. I mean, you got to do whatever it takes to secure that guy, but they didn't, and he moved on, and it's a benefit to you guys in New York. And the Ravens, you know, just, you know, played the Jets this year to start the season. Now they get the Giants, so it should be interesting. As we wind this thing down, next Wednesday night we debut, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. Any thoughts? I'm excited. 30 minutes of pure breaking football down at its finest with you, Danielle, and yours truly, me. out here in L.A., Mark Mancini.
I can't wait, Mark. I think we're going to have a great time breaking down all the games, previewing the games, talking about the injuries, talking about the bad, roughing the passer calls. Hopefully that's behind us, but I don't know this season. So I'm really excited to talk and get this going.
Yeah, I can't wait either. And we'll probably break down quite a few things across the board, see the Snyder issues. Talk about, you know, the cheerleaders across the country. What cheerleaders are the best in some of these cities? Is it the Liberty Bells in Philly? Is it the Seagulls in Seattle? We got a lot to talk about as Danielle and I will break down everything. Most must-hear show that's going to sweep the country starting next week. And as we wind this thing down, Danielle, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as we wrap this up.
You can find me on Instagram at Danielle M. Orsino, O-R-S-I-N-O. You can also find me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, F-A-E, underscore novel. Hit me up. Let me know what you guys want to hear, what you want to talk about. Tell me your favorite team and give me some trash talk. I'm open to it.
Well, she's a straw that serves a drink. I'm just playing her caddy here. Thank you guys for tuning in to this practice run. We will see you Wednesday. Again, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. Till then, have a blessed weekend. And on her terms, go Giants. On my terms, go Steelers. Good night, everybody.